Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Toucher and Rich's.
Toucher and Rich, who are a bunch of sports yahoos.
Best moments of 2018.
Share the memories.
Yahoos.
All right, it's the end of the year. That means this year we will have 8 memories for you. 8 memories of all the just fantastic classic programming that's gone here on the show. Rich, what do we have for the young people today?
Well, we've been taking suggestions from listeners, not only at our Twitter, at Toucher and Rich, but also on our Twitch account. And earlier this year, we met a couple of legends, City Hall legends. Let's get to it.
Hold on, man. Here's a tip. Never lend your bike to a bar.
Actually, let's meet this one. Let's let this one roll. I think we got it backwards. This right here is one of Fred's favorite moments of the year because of a favorite Paul Feinbaum caller that we got to know intimately. Let's let it roll.
Okay,
this one's for you, Fred. I forgot. I moved it around because I wanted to start it off today for you.
Oh, fantastic.
On a
I'm
good
honored.
Note, this I'm is
honored.
One of your favorites.
All right.
Never lend your bike to a bar. I'm low riding, bum riding, the government, I can stop in Alaska. 985
the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich.
And my hammer on.
These are all real, and these are all calls to the Paul Feinbaum show. Paul Feinbaum is on ESPN, but I believe his radio show is essentially syndicated in like every city and town in the Southeast.
Right. They just say, all right, where are the lowest SAT scores in the country? Let's syndicate Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah. Basically.
And it's just a big old circle of red down there in the Southeast because that's what they love talking about. College football. And man, it is just, I mean, it is king down there. If you ever were wondering just how big it is, just know that on a Sunday, an NFL Sunday, like, the Atlanta Falcons could be page 2 or 3 because the Georgia Bulldogs, who played the day before, are going to be front page news.
Or if you go to and read the Knoxville paper in July, there's 2 writers and they both cover Tennessee football. There's only 2 writers that work for the paper.
Uh-huh.
And so literally every single day, short of like the Super Bowl, I would imagine, there's something about Tennessee football on the front page of the paper.
Without a doubt. And so if you're just trying to figure out what kind of person calls the Paul Feinbaum show, and I'll give him credit, he lets him talk. He lets him just say your piece, and he just kind of sits back and does it. And then there's the callers who call in who always got something to say about a caller who was on earlier.
Right.
Who they do not agree with. So this is Jim calling in and saying he does not like Dave, who called earlier, who had an opinion, a hot opinion about Bama. And little did he know, Feinbaum had a certain someone on hold.
Oh, boy. Time. He's going to pit them against each other.
You know, he laughs at everything. He just laughs. He's a nothing, Paul. He's a freak. He's a freak. Yeah, I get mad.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Jim.
Okay.
Let me reverse the roles, and you're sitting in my chair. What do you do?
I think you come back like you've done in the past occasionally and make a creditable comment about how outrageous what he's saying is, and you cut him off, just like you've done Iman and a few others. That's what I think. You show integrity. If you show it, everybody follows your lead. And
hey,
then a
Dick.
Fool. That, go ahead, Paul. And then
hey,
a freak
Dick.
And a fool.
You got a problem with me, Dick? You want to meet up, big boy?
All right. Now, here we go.
Let's get ready to... I can't say it. We'll get sued.
No,
fight.
No.
Tumble.
Careful. You want to get together? All right. Okay. The Greyhound can drop me off in your town in 2.5 hours. It's that you want to meet up as soon as I get this Camaro off these blocks? I'm coming to get you.
You want to meet up, big boy? Who's this? Little boy? Who do you think it is, you jackass? You
is this the retard drunk
jackass?
I don't know who you're talking about.
You don't know nothing about me.
You're a freak. And everybody knows you're a freak. And
I'm just telling you, you're an idiot.
Nobody likes you. Everybody likes you. You're an idiot.
And you're not making a million dollars. I'm wearing your jacket. You straight jacket wearing toothless here, Billy.
Wait, what? You straight jacket?
You're wearing hillbilly.
Oh, well, as opposed to me, who's a man of great refinement.
I just, after that, him, I was just like, sold to the man in the back.
Yeah, sold. I have a feeling all these guys' weddings involved a shotgun.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. And Rich, finally, there's a superstar.
There is a lady who does call into Paul Feinbaum, and she called in once and said that she learned that her daughter was a lesbian, didn't quite know what it was. And she called in, and apparently she's got a little bit of a story, a backstory. Let's hear from...
From Mildred? Yeah.
80-something-year-old Mildred.
Yeah. 80 years young.
I was talking about Coach Bryant.
Now, you were the one who had something going with Coach Bryant. Is that correct?
Yeah, and his egg been hung up
on. Well, I apologize to you. I shouldn't have done that.
I told my son about it after me and his daddy divorced.
So you told your son about you and Coach Bryant?
Yeah.
I used to take his hat off and rub it all over my nude body. Oh, gross. Oh, Bear. You know why they called him Bear?
Why?
Because he was a hairy animal.
He was a furry man.
He was a furry man. He was rough like a bear. But old Mildred didn't mind. Mildred liked a little danger between the sheets. Used to bang Bear Bryant. I'm a million years old. You know, I had sex with Warren G. Harding.
I told my son about it after me and his daddy divorced.
Son, sit down. Let me tell you about all the men I've had sex with. You'd be very surprised. The list is long.
Her son's like 60.
Exactly. Well, hell, half your friends. The trailer was like it could have used a dang.
Bear Bryant got married in 1935.
Yeah, I used to bang him behind his wife's back. I could have used a revolving door on this trailer. I had suitors. They'd come over with a bottle of moonshine and a pack of smokes. And I'd let them do me.
That's the price of admission?
Bert Bryant came over in his Packard. And he said, let me take you for a ride. We didn't go but 10 feet before we went in the back seat, and I rode him.
What?
Back then, it took a while to get your britches off.
Breeches.
Bert Bryant, I'll tell you what, he would use his mouth to take off your undies. He was a physical man. I wouldn't call him a caring lover. He'd get done practicing with those boys, and boy, did he want to spank me.
Oh, my God.
Old Mildred, felt like she was revisiting good old punishment.
What?
You know what? Back then, electricity wasn't as good as it is today. So Bear would like it when I dropped hot wax on him. He'd scream and scream.
That's helped him with his hair problem, I'm assuming, after a while.
Oh, he had hair everywhere.
So you told your son about you and Coach Bryant?
Yeah. And I never could have a good relationship with his daddy because I was always thinking about the bike.
I used to tape a picture of Bear Bryant on your daddy's chest.
I don't know how much I can say.
That's what I was thinking.
I tell you what, it was a weird situation when I would go to Alabama games. Hell, I'd do anyone. Get so worked up.
Do you still think about him?
Well,
I dug him up not 2 weeks ago.
Oh, man.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I'm 84 years old. I was a young girl back in the day.
Yeah.
I was up there at the football office. The thing, you know, where all the coaches have their office.
And you were just up there visiting?
Well, I was up there because I was helping out at the university.
You worked there?
No, I just helping out.
Helping out. And you bumped into Coach Bryant?
Well, he walked out there.
And he said, ass crash or ass. We ass crash or cash. No one rides for free. And let's just say I didn't have any gas or cash. You know, he had the big Scott Joplin sticker on the back of his car.
He used to follow him around. Yeah, he was like a super fan of Scott Joplin. He was the Maple Top.
Oh, did he love ragtime? He didn't care if it was ragtime.
One day, and of course, we all know who he was because he's the coach of football.
No, you were lending a hand?
So, Steve.
Right.
And he asked me how I was and what my name was.
And you said Mildred.
Yeah, Mildred. And
he said, my name is?
Paul.
Paul.
Yeah, he said.
That's what he called himself.
He put his arm around me and said, you call me Paul.
And what happened after that, Mildred?
And then we went back to some room and, like, yeah, we bumped uglies.
You what?
Bumped uglies.
What?
Yeah, wait. Bumped uglies.
Bumped uglies. Nothing I can add to that.
Because I was always thinking about the bear.
Mildred, what did you do with him?
Bumped uglies.
Can you imagine sitting down with your son? Yeah. I gotta let you know that I bumped uglies.
Yeah, wait. Bumped uglies. Bumped uglies.
How does Feinbaum keep it together? How does he do that?
Because he's smart. He could be cackling with laughter. Who knows? I think he just turns off the mic.
But even so, you have to answer the woman occasionally. And you see, hear some residual laughter after that. I don't know how you man is has a mind of steel.
Ugly.
Jesus! Oh my God!
That is fantastic.
Because I was always thinking about the bear.
Why?
Jesus. She's great. Oh, boy, is she great. She's the one that said she had hemorrhoids and her daughter was a lesbian, right?
And my hemorrhoids.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, maybe he gave her the hemorrhoids. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, wait. But that bitch.
Oh, the pressure. Oh, the onion.
Bumped uglies.
Oh my goodness!
And my hammer on.
All right. Well, listen, that was worth it, but we ran a little late. I could listen to Mildred all day, no matter what she does. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to Jeff Howe. Perhaps he knew Bear Bryant.
Here's
the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by New Pro Home Improvements.
Yeah,
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Lateral.
Oh,
are they at the 10?
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Did he just score?
Gronk better run
He's
him
about
out.
To score.
Oh, no!
Holy
You gotta be kidding me!
What?
Wow!
.985 the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Will Brinson not answering the phone.
Oh.
That's no good.
By the way, that right there, John, you can get to hear it yesterday, but that was the tape of Troy Brown. The guy yelling the most was Troy Brown. Yeah. And he was sitting next to Rob Ninkovich, Michael Holly, and Tommy Curran. And that was somebody accused, after seeing that clip, Troy Brown yesterday, a listener accused him of celebrating when the Patriots lose.
What?
That to me did not sound like a guy high-fiving all of his buddies. That
sounded like
someone,
a guy who had a stake put through his heart.
In complete and total shock.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things that, I mean, as a Patriots fan, it hurts, and it obviously has big repercussions. But during the moment, you got to be like, oh, my God.
Well, it just took you several seconds to just comprehend what had happened. Yeah. And I know that we had Sosi on yesterday, and we've played that clip of that silence. And Sosi said, you know, part of it was the shock and trying to process it. The other part was because our vantage point sucked so much that I couldn't tell which player did the lateral and which one got it. So I had to get all my facts straight before I actually spoke about it.
Yeah, you were telling me they put him in a corner?
It's the worst.
I had no idea.
And Zolak was telling us.
Lower bowl corner. Yeah.
That's where I was. Lower bowl corner.
You're probably right by you guys.
My Lord.
No monitor. So, okay. Well, we've talked about this before with you.
Yeah.
There's got to be no worse place in the NBA for what a huge organization the Celtics are. Where they put the radio broadcasters is atrocious. And I know you won't say it, but I will. Sitting in the corner, barely being able to see the game, that's probably one of the worst places you can
sit. He said it's bad. John said it's bad before.
Okay. Well, if you said it's bad, great. But I'm not going to – I know that you've got your gig there, and I don't want you to blow it because I know it means everything to you more than this show. And you'd leave here in a second if you got off of that gate. But what they have going on, but you have a monitor.
Yes.
Like you have a monitor.
And the game
is happening, what, like 100 feet in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay. Imagine being at a corner
radio,
of the end zone and calling a play on the other end of the field with no monitor.
Yeah, I've had an opportunity to go to different buildings, and sometimes you're way up high, sometimes you're far removed from the floor, but at least you're centrally located. I can't imagine, especially a football game where you have so much to keep track of, deep back corner like that, that's got to be really hard.
Did we ask him whether the play was away from them? I don't think I asked him whether or not the play was going away from him. Yesterday. But either way, I mean, like Sosi said that, he goes, part of me was just like pissed because I think I'd gotten one of the names wrong on the lateral. And then at the end of it, I still couldn't process what had gone on.
All right. Okay. So there's a phone screener and it's Bird answering the phones. And it says, it said Mark in the Park was a bad idea. So he said that's what it said up there. And then when
I asked,
it said Mark in the Park is a bad idea. And then I went and asked Dan what he was talking about. And then it took Dan a while because Bird was answering another call.
And I just said, can you put that person on hold? Because I need the answer to what you. So we went back to the first caller, asked them what they wanted to say, and then started typing it in. I said, what did he say? And he just went, marketing.
Well, I want to take this call now.
The hell is going on?
The guy just yells marketing three times, and this is a caller I want to take.
Right. But it said Mark in the Park, and then I asked Dan what it was
Mark
about.
Mark in the Park, is he related to Ace in the Case?
Ace is on the case.
And then Bird told him to hang on. I saw the finger up in the air, and then Dan got on, and he said marketing.
Now I have to know what this call is about, because I guarantee you it's going to be about nothing having to do with that.
Dan, go ahead.
world? I'm so confused right now.
You're not the only one.
I love you.
As are we, Dan.
No, I was just going to say, like, man, I don't know how much money the Bob Soucy podcast is bringing in, but oh, my God. Can you promote that more? Like, all I want is Fred's Reads, because they're the only ones I listen to, and that's it. That's right. And Bert, yeah, he came back on, and I got confused. I said, oh, I'm just going to make fun of your marketing department. He goes, huh, what? Okay. But yeah. I love Bert. I love Bert.
But you're apparently Mark in the Park.
He said Mark in the Park.
In the Park. Or Ace on the Case. I'm just Dan with the plan, baby.
All right.
I love you guys.
Ace
right,
thank you, is buddy. On the case.
Yeah, they...
what the hell is going on?
He said, I don't... But that's why I was laughing during the whole thing.
That's why I was looking at you.
Because it says, Mark in the Park is a bad idea.
Should we just have people call it a confused bird?
But no, come on.
I think they do that normally.
That's an oxymoron. That's an oxymoron.
Or a given.
Yeah. Or actually, whatever. I'm a moron. But whatever. It's a given. Like, I mean, you can call up and you can say, I misused the word. You can call up and say, I want to talk about, Gronkowski being in on the final play of the game. And then
Donna needs a bathtub.
Yeah. It's marketing.
Yeah, Dilly, not Debbie. Yeah, that's how we get situations like that.
Yeah. Dilly makes Dilly.
Dilly.
But I mean, the pressure
again
on Bert.
Dilly.
You could cut it with a knife. I mean, my Lord. The pressure on Mark in the Park is a bad idea. And then I thought,
I want a shirt that says.
And then I thought, well, did something happen? Like, is there something that happened that was bad? So I just, my curiosity got the best of me. And then, so I asked Dan, and then he just tells Dan to hang on a minute. I'm putting someone else through that is going to hang up in 5 seconds.
Is that the new Hey Guys Hey? Mark in the Park is a bad idea?
I don't know.
that's the secret phrase.
Add it to the
to
list.
Get into the
chocolate
cool club.
And thick, you know, just add it.
Sure.
Steak and eggs, the whole thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a lot of that. So, yes, the associate to sit there and try to ascertain what was going on.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Zoe apparently, he might have said at the end of the show. I don't remember, but I guess the play was coming towards them.
Okay. So they were the opposite corner. The play was going away from me. So,
okay.
Yeah. I was, if the logo was right set up on your TV, I was top right corner.
Well, so, how long did it take you to figure out what was going on?
Oh, it didn't take me long at all. I saw the whole thing. I'm like, son of a bitch. Oh, Jesus. It happened so fast. I'm like, oh, God.
Because my dad, who we'll talk to at 9, was at the Immaculate Reception game.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah.
And he couldn't tell what the hell was going on.
No,
and the crowd started going, like, from, like, the end, one end of the stadium started going nuts until it got to the back. Because you have to remember, this is 72.
Sure.
Yeah. So, like, there's not, like, a huge screen that's, like, showing you everything that's going on.
I saw it all unfold in the field. I'm like, oh, he didn't tackle him. There he is. Gronk's all by him. So, touchdown. It happened. But you're right. It took about 3 or 4 minutes of me standing there to kind of process what had just happened. And I kept looking up at the scoreboard like an idiot. It's like, maybe that doesn't give Miami the win.
Oh,
maybe the Patriots still figured out a way to win this game.
You didn't get to hear Dan Fouts yesterday. I don't think I have the clip anymore. But Dan Fouts, right before Gostkowski get the field goal, said, you know, I think smart idea might be just to let the Patriots score.
Did he really say that?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And Ian Eagle.
Oh, my God.
Ian Eagle, because he's the consummate pro, had to think of a way to make it sound like Dan Fouts didn't just say
what
of the
What was the answer
things.
To that?
He said, well, I guess they would have to miss the extra point in order to keep things in play.
Yeah. Oh, man. So they were up by, the Patriots were up by 2, and Fouts suggested that they let them score. And then thereby putting them in a situation where.
God bless Ian Eagle. I never would have thought of that in a million years. Good for him. To save his partner.
Well, no, he stated the obvious, but he did so gently.
Here it is. That's the point.
The best Miami could do is get the football with 15 seconds left.
Or they could just let him score here.
Bouncing, Michelle. You do the numbers there, and then they have to hope for a missed extra point just to still be within striking range.
God bless him. That, seriously, you're throwing a life preserver to a dying man.
If you're Fouts, well, first of all, Fouts, I don't know what's going on with him, but I mean, he has no business being in the booth right now. But I mean, that's almost inexcusable. Like, why say anything? You're better off not saying anything.
Jesus.
All right. Let's go to Andy. Andy, hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up?
I just wanted to blame Wallace Gap for almost tearing Brady's ACL yesterday. I mean, the other day for the game. But also, I wanted to say, did you guys know what was on last night?
What was that?
Monday Night Football.
Yes, it was.
That's true.
And people were saying they were blaming you. They were saying that Brady was distracted by this. Wallach had in real life.
Yep.
I was told that Wallach was going to have to wear a retainer, basically, for the rest of his life.
I don't think that's how it works.
No, after the Invisalign is done, retainer nights, because I was informed by my dentist, the teeth never stop moving.
Right.
So you have to keep it in a certain spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, after the Invisalign is over, I'll have to wear a retainer nights, I believe.
Well, I've
retainer
had my...
nights.
That's right.
Bring on the sexiness.
Yeah, that's right, baby. So, because I'm in the process of this Invisalign, and they've taken the molds. I don't have them
How
yet.
Was that experience for you, taking the molds?
I that doesn't bother me.
Okay.
But the... So can you imagine if I ever got divorced that I would have not only a mask on my face,
right?
A CPAP machine,
CPAP over the retainer.
So I'd be like, ladies, like popping the retainer and then put on the CPAP mask. Who wants some?
The mating call is the click of the plastic against the gums.
Oh God,
gross.
That is it. All right, here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. There was my son has something at the Newton Public Library on Mondays, and so I was waiting for him out in like the lobby area,
uh-huh.
And they had this thing, and it was like famous people who have had mental issues, and one of the people was Kurt Cobain, and I'm thinking.
I don't know if you want to really...
What's the message here?
Use that as
I would believe his suicide would somehow... His crippling heroin addiction and his suicide would belie the... Would let you know that he is someone who suffered from mental illness. I just thought it was...
That is strange.
Because I was like, oh, they got something about, like, you know, mental illness is on everyone's mind nowadays. Like, you know, people are coming out and talking about it. And I thought, well, Cobain, yeah. Kind of got a feeling something wasn't right, unless you believe Courtney did it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Will Brinson, senior writer, NFL writer for the CBSSports.com, joins us every Tuesday during the NFL season. You can catch Will on the Pick Six podcast available on CBSSports.com and iTunes. Hello, Mr. Brinson.
Hey, guys. I'm a Kurt Cobain conspiracy theorist, but I don't understand why you would put him in with a group of people suffering from mental issues. I mean, that's a bad look.
Yeah, you would think that it was people overcoming living a big life, even though despite the fact that they might have these things. Now, you think Courtney killed Kirk?
I mean, I'm not going to say that on a recorded line in front of millions of people or thousands of hundreds of people in Boston. Hundreds of millions of people in Boston.
No, but you...
I do think it's a little fishy. Although I get that he, you know, his angst over becoming a really popular millionaire rock star probably just led him to say, I can't take this anymore.
I saw that movie, Kurt and Courtney, there was like one or two parts. I was like, yeah, maybe. But it was a fairly flimsy argument, I think, that they put together. Like, there were certain things about the distance from like how, like, you couldn't hold the gun that way and have it land where it did. But the people who were like the experts were just like dudes who shoot at the firing range. It wasn't like anybody like who really whose credit you should go, oh, yeah, well, this is a person who knows what they're talking
about. And what does she get out of him dying?
Because he was going to leave her and take all of his money, and like they weren't going to he was gonna leave her and she wasn't gonna get any of the money that he had. That was the basically the reasoning.
And
that
could have they could have done that? It seems like they had a child together.
Yeah, like he was about to write a letter that he didn't want her to have any of the cash, and he was like fell out of love with her. There was all these reasonings and letters that they had found that were kind of leading up to that, and friends that they had interviewed. But yeah, it's not even that worth seeing. It's not that great of a documentary, but that's what they put out there.
I saw it. I don't remember. I also saw the.
If anyone should get credit for living with mental illness, it's Courtney Love.
She's done a good job of it as well.
I've made out with her.
No way.
She kissed me right in the mouth. Mm-hmm.
What? Get out of here.
Well, yep, she did. There was this one weird time where we were talking about her on a radio station I was on, and she called in and said, I want to come to the station. Can somebody come pick me up? A producer from the station went to her hotel room. She happened to be in town, and when she answered her hotel room door, she was completely naked. And so he invited her in the room. She got dressed in front of him, then brought her to the station. She got to the station. We put her on the air. She said she'd been writing a song and that if was there anyone who knew how to play guitar, that way she could work on the song. And for how many hours, Fred? Like 6 hours?
Long, long time.
For 6 hours, Courtney Love and I like sat in a room together, and basically it was 1 hour worth of writing the song and 5 hours of her just showing me the track marks on her arm, talking about Kurt Cobain's awful taste in music, that he liked the Smithereens. And at one point, when we finished the song, she grabbed my face and then kissed me, and now I have herpes.
Whoa, that's a really complicated tale for explaining herpes, but congratulations on making out with Yoko Ono.
I just forgot about this. There was a fire alarm that day when we were working on it, and so we worked in an office building, so there's a bunch of like legitimate businesses there. So people are all sitting on the lawn outside of the building, and here comes like Courtney Love just in the middle of all of them, just kind of geeking out a little bit, and everyone's looking like, is that who I think it is? Just standing in the middle of a bunch of people who worked for, I don't know, like Aramark or whatever.
Well, I'll tell you this, is A, you're not the only one from the station who's hooked up with her, and B, she called me an effing a-hole on stage at Music Midtown after I interviewed her.
Very nice.
But she saw something she liked backstage at that Music Midtown and got that kid right on the bus. Her and another girl, they're like, you're coming with us. All right, Will, thanks for joining us. No. All right.
Yeah, that was fun, guys.
Talk all right, Will Brinson, the Steelers are a team that is not playing well right now. Bad loss to the Raiders, even though the Raiders, I don't know how you can excuse playing on that field. And obviously, Ben Roethlisberger was out for a chunk of that game. What are you seeing in terms of flaws, and how do you think that's going to affect Sunday's game against the Patriots?
Well, the Steelers are bad right now. They haven't won since before Thanksgiving. I mean, there's snow on the ground at my house in North Carolina, a giant Christmas tree, too many lights to count, and 4,000 pounds of ornaments around here. So, I mean, like, that's bad news. Like, you don't want to be losing, you don't want your last win to be before Thanksgiving. It's a team that right now with James Conner hurt, Jalen Samuels, who I love out of NC State, but, he's a rookie and he's really more of a receiving back. Stephen Ridley, everyone knows about New England. I mean, he's not going to dominate the ground game. They don't have James Conner. They miss Le'Veon Bell. It's actually kind of coming home to roost a little bit. Ben is banged up. Mike Tomlin making weird decisions about whether to play Ben or not. So he didn't want to disrupt the flow and the rhythm of the offense. It's like you would punt to miss field goal, turnover on downs, punt. Like, what are you disrupting here? And then the defense too. Like, they gave up 153 yards on two drives in the final 10 minutes of that game to Derek Carr and the Raiders, and eventually lost because of that. I mean, that's no bueno. And I just think this is a sloppy team that, started out 1-2-1, won six straight games, has now lost three in a row, should be four in a row. And they got the Patriots, Saints. I mean, they're just not doing a whole lot. I think they're going to miss the playoffs. I think they're going to lose two out of the next three, and you're going to see Indy and Tennessee, some of those teams, win these games. And I think the Ravens are going to close them out. And the only thing that I'd be worried about if I was a Patriots fan, well, there's only two things. One, the game's on the road, so Pittsburgh plays better at home, much better at home. And then two, this is really desperation time for them. I mean, they have to win one of their next two games to make the playoffs, more than likely. And winning at home against New England, I think substantially easier, at least relative to what you got to do, versus going on the road and beating the Saints in New Orleans.
Yesterday, you wrote something that was just awesome. You put that there is a scenario where this would happen, and that would be if Hugh Jackson and the Bengals beat the Steelers in Week 17, there is a chance the Browns would go into the playoff because of that.
There's a mathematical chance.
Well, look, all the Browns have to do is win out, and all the Steelers have to do is lose out. And that third loss for the Steelers would be week 17 against the Bengals and Hugh Jackson. And the Browns, I think the Ravens have to go 1-2, which is totally possible. But the Browns could win the division and be the number four seed in the AFC at 8-7-1 thanks to Hugh Jackson and the Bengals beating the Steelers. It would be the ultimate, the gift that Hugh Jackson gives back to Cleveland and finally gets into the playoffs.
Okay, so we had Troy Brown in here yesterday, and we were asking him about, there's that scenario that, there's a chance that the Chargers could possibly get the one seed. I mean, if they beat the Chiefs this Thursday, and there's, they are the second best chance of getting the one seed, even more so than the Patriots. Let's say you're the Patriots. Who would you least rather play in what scenario? Would you rather play the Chiefs at Arrowhead or the Chargers in L.A. at that soccer stadium?
I think you would. It's tough because, man, the Chiefs are so dangerous on offense, but they don't look quite as dangerous without Kareem Hunt. You've got some Tyreek Hill is now on 1 foot. The Chiefs have played Andy Reid well before. They've taken care of business against him in the playoffs. They beat the Chiefs in a game this year. And you are playing against a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes who, while he's incredible and he's throwing these no-look passes and he's blowing everybody's mind week to week and he's the MVP this year, he is a first-year starter and he doesn't have any playoff experience. So, you at least would be getting that. An Andy Reid coached quarterback with no playoff experience feels like it could be a recipe for at least a little bit of disappointment. Whereas the Chargers, man, they're really starting to come on strong. Melvin Gordon has missed a couple of games, but if he gets back and healthy, this is a dynamic offense. Phillip Rivers is playing out of his mind. And I think he actually feels like, for whatever reason, it might be his year to make a run. So I would say you'd rather play the Chiefs, but it's really close because the Chiefs have a good home field advantage and the Chargers do not. I just think Phillip Rivers is the quarterback who he played the Patriots. He played the Patriots without an ACL before and kept it kind of close. I think he can. He's tougher to trick for Bill Belichick than maybe Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I'll tell you, he's having his ninth kid, so he's got a lot of time on his hands.
He puts a lot of practice in. Okay,
he does
a lot of reps on the practice field.
I can't think of a woman who'd want to have nine kids, not because of even raising the kids, but just because of what that puts your body through. My Lord, nine kids.
I think after the fourth or fifth, it's just like you're going to Wet and Wild.
Pull the arm and a baby pops out type thing.
Yeah. Right.
All right, Will Brinson, thank you so much for the time. You can read him at CBSSports.com and listen to him on the Pick 6 podcast. Available on iTunes and CBSSports.com. Thanks for the time.
You guys are the best. Have a great week.
I see you, man. Right,
appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Johnny Wall game, Hall of Fame action.
Yeah.
Harold Baines.
Yeah.
Lee Smith.
Yeah,
I never even knew Harold Baines was on the radar.
He isn't. And here's the thing. I've noticed the backlash on Twitter. I was at the airport yesterday. I was reading up on all of this. And people are like, the overreaction of people. It's only the Baseball Hall of Fame. Well, I went to the Baseball Hall of Fame when I was a kid. I grew up a baseball fan. And it's a great sport. And I understand the sport has kind of passed this current generation by. And it skews a lot older. But screw it, I'm older. I really enjoy baseball. I enjoy being at the Baseball Hall of Fame, and only the best of the best should be there. Harold Baines is not the best of the best, and neither is Lee Smith, by the way.
No.
And I don't know how the baseball writers continue to overthink things the way that they do and put guys who don't deserve to be in there, but they continue to do it, and it shocks me that it really comes down to this, where the writer's like, well, I vote for a different, I swap three guys out and I swap another three in, and, I can't be consistent this year because of the players that are there. Look, Mariano Rivera should be a unanimous Hall of Famer, but writers are going to overthink that. Well, he was a closer. Yeah, he was the best closer ever and won multiple championships and was unhittable. So why don't you just vote him in? There are so many fallacies with the voting process, and Harold Baines in the Hall of Fame is front and center. And I don't get it. I don't get how people who get votes. Well, there are a lot of guys that played forever.
No, that's what I'm saying, is that they're going to say that he played for... Dude, Bert Blyleven's in the Hall.
People who get votes continually screw it up year after year and then try and make their case as to why they screwed up, and they throw a lot of words out there, and none of it makes any sense. Yeah. Well, Harold Baines in the Hall of Fame is an abomination to those of us who love baseball.
I just know that there was talk of Lee Smith. I've never heard Harold Baines's name even... remotely mentioned.
Was he the more dominant hitter of his generation? He was a very good hitter for a long period of time.
No,
and then
forever.
Like every other hitter who turned into a DH was mediocre, if I remember right. I haven't looked at his numbers recently, but mediocre for the last 4 or 5 years of his career. And just because you play a long time doesn't guarantee you induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame, which represents the best of the best in your chosen sport.
It's the only Hall of Fame that really matters anymore.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Rich, there is the list of the worst movies of 2018.
Okay.
And I want to see how if you've seen any of these, because there's one I really... And there's a genre of movie I think would be really, really funny to see.
Okay.
To start getting into. And I'm sure you've seen movies of this genre.
Okay.
I'm absolutely positive. Maybe not recently.
All right, bring it on.
All right, so I would like to hear your opinions on these. All right, there will be no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.